All right. Good morning. Thank you all for taking time to spend this Christmas morning with us. And on behalf of the leadership of this church, we would like to sincerely wish you a blessed and meaningful Christmas. Notice that I did not say Merry Christmas. Though often we hear people saying Merry Christmas. And what they really meant is that it is time to party. It is time to have fun and be happy. And that happiness, we know, is dependent. It comes from eating, drinking, dancing, singing some carols, like what we just did. And yes, we must not forget the unwrapping and the receiving and the unwrapping of gifts. But we do know that after all the eating the same old turkey, maybe ham, the log cake, which we're going to have afterwards. It's not wrong. And after all the drinking and the dancing and the singing the same old Christmas carols every year, year in and year out. We really have to ask ourselves this question. Are you tired of Christmas? Maybe some of you, Christmas is still something new and it still has this attraction. But if you're like me, I've gone through many Christmas parties, not the wild ones. And I begin to ask myself this question: am I tired of Christmas? Now, all of us want to be happy, but we know full well that this feeling of happiness, at best, will last no longer than 12 hours. When all the food is gone, and the drinking, the dancing, and the singing is done, and you have unwrapped your gifts, which is probably some recycled stuff that people don't want. Again, we have to ask ourselves this question: are you tired of Christmas? Can this Christmas today, can this Christmas be a blessed, meaningful, and joyful, and a happy time? Now, you may say to me, Pastor John, why do you sound so negative? You're a wet blanket, you're a killjoy, and you're no fun to be around. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in spending time with our family over food and laughter. But we must not confuse happiness with joy. Happiness is different from joy. Because you can be joyful even though you're having a tough time right now. But happiness depends on something happening. And if things do not happen to happen the way you want it to happen, then you're not happy. And that's happiness. Speaking of happiness, oh, sorry. Speaking of happenings, just take a look at what is going on around the world today. What is happening to our world? And there's so many different issues and areas that is completely gone wrong today in our with our world. You can talk about politics, technology, medicine, economy, education, climate, and even religion. When we think about our politicians, most of them only want to control us. And they do that by making empty promises. But they cannot solve our social problems. Social problems like poverty, famine, drugs, slavery, terrorism. And the list just goes on and on. Why? Because our politicians are just flawed human beings, all corrupted, but most likely both. Then think about our technology today. And many of us are so proud of the advancement of our technology. We have computers, smartphones, and then we spend so much time on social media. And I've got news for you. Now they have changed the DNA of many of the unborn children. They will come up with their thumbs like this, and maybe with a handphone attached. Take a look around. That's what we all look like today. And then we're so proud of the fact that we've put men on the moon. But in reality, it is their search for a backdoor out of this planet, because they know that this planet, our home, will not last very long. That's the truth. And still speaking about our computers and our handphones, our smartphones, we call them today. The downside is this: we get tracked. We get hacked. And we lose our privacy. And we get scammed. And then we lose billions of bitcoins stolen from blockchains. And we're so proud of it. Medicine. And I have to be careful. We've got doctors here. We boast so much of how advanced our medicine have become. And you and I know if you have money, they can keep you alive for a long, long time. But with all our cleverness, we couldn't stop one small, almost invisible virus that has brought the whole world down to her knees. And today we're still struggling with it. We're not even out of it yet. And the good news is this: Jesus has told us to expect more deadlier viruses very soon, very soon. It's coming. Because these are all signs of the end times. And what is most obvious today that affects most of us is our economy. The world's economy is teetering on the brink of total collapse. Total collapse. The US and many European countries today, in fact, for a long time now, they're completely bankrupt. Completely bankrupt. US is today the biggest debtor nation, which is common knowledge. And they've been the biggest debtor nation for a long time. Again, don't get me wrong. It is good to be educated. And when we talk about our education system, many of us benefited from it. And it is good to be trained. But in the US today, the education system is destroying young lives by confusing their gender identity. Meaning, even from a very young age, they will tell them, you're not male or female. You can decide what you want to be. And today in the US, if you are a man, but you wake up one morning feeling like a woman, you may dress up like a woman and walk into a lady's toilet. And I think this is happening also in many European countries. But I think the frightening part is that they're doing this in the schools. When they're in their teens and they're telling them, you can change your sex if you don't like it. And still on education, a survey was done last year in Singapore, here. And 77% of lawyers surveyed said they wanted their children to be lawyers. To be lawyers. But a similar survey done this year, 2022, the number quickly fell to only 48%. Just within 12 months, parents changed their mind. Why? The survey doesn't tell us the reason. But we do know that today, we have many lawyers in our jail today. And many doctors were struck off. And I've not even started to talk about climate is something that is on everyone's lips, and we're so caught up by it. We talk about Greenpeace and climate changes, and we do know that today there's so many natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons, volcanic eruptions, flooding, and then drought. And all these endless talks about climate changes, global warming, carbon footprint, they are man's frail attempts to solve these natural calamities that is so common today. But you and I know it will all be in vain. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to trash our earth. We need to live responsibly. But you're not going to save this earth. It's only a distraction. It's only a distraction so that you will take your eyes off Jesus. Because Jesus himself said, this earth will pass away. It will pass away. But a new one is coming. Last, and I left it to the last. Because it is about us. Religion is man trying to reach God by good works. But if you and I were to take a hard look at our churches today, it is men reaching into the piggy banks of the churches. And worse, men reaching to touch young boys. It's a fact. And we have to face it. And that is how sick our world is today, especially the churches. And God calls this sickness sin. Sin. Because all the chaos that is happening in our world today is caused by man rejecting God's holy word. It is man rejecting the control of God in their lives. And they like to blame it all on climate change. When there is a flood or global warming, can they think of something new to say? Nothing. It's always blaming on climate changes. And the climate did change, I believe. But it is because of our sin that God is behind all this chaos, all these changes, to grab our attention, to tell us how wicked we have been, and that this world is going to end very soon. Again, it is not wrong to be educated, to be rich, or even to be good looking. But underneath all that facade, God said that we are all sinners, all sinners, flawed human beings who are greedy and evil, rebelling against God's control in our lives. That is the problem. That is the sole reason. That is the sole reason for all the chaos that we are seeing in our world today. You can disagree with me, but think deep enough. That is the reason. So, as we look at our sick, chaotic world today, it is always a good time to ask ourselves, are you tired of Christmas? Again, I must say, I love Christmas and what Christmas represents. But I'm tired of the fake, commercialized Christmas that we see today, because it distracts us from what Christmas really is. So again, we ask, can this Christmas be a blessed, meaningful, and happy, joyous time? And the answer is yes, yes, if you understand what the real meaning of Christmas is, because it is all about the birth of Jesus Christ and why he must come, why he must come. Then and only then can we have a real reason to be joyful about. Now, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. That's a fact. But it is also a fact that it was a historic event. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he's a real historical figure who occupied space and time, just like you and I. You occupy space and time, But a time will come when you will die, and that chair will be empty, and you will no longer occupy space, and you will no longer occupy time. But Jesus was a historical figure. But we must also remember that that first Christmas happened during one of the darkest moments in human history, when the world was ruled by the Roman Empire. And as we look back into history, we may like to think that during the Roman Empire, there was a civilized rule of law. They call it Pax Romana, meaning there's the Roman law. Or that there was prosperity, there was vibrant trade, and there was good, there were good roads. Many good roads that link many countries in Europe, which is true even until today. But it was also the Romans who forced everyone to worship Caesar. And Christians were persecuted and killed, sometimes as an entertainment in the Colosseum. There was also enforced slavery, rampant corruption, and widespread sexual immorality, much like the world we live in today. So the question we need to ask is, why then? Why then did Jesus have to come? And he came during the rule of the Roman. And the Bible tells us that the human race became too wicked, much like in the days of Noah, whom God destroyed by the great flood for their sins. And God, being holy and just, will also have to punish us for our sins in hell. But God did not want to send another flood, because he promised Noah that he will never send another flood, because God is love and he wants to give us a second chance, a way out, another way out. God wants to forgive us of our sins so that we can live with him forever in heaven. And that way out is Jesus. He is the only way back to God. And because God loves all mankind, Jesus, being God, came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a baby to live among us. And while on earth, Jesus not only lived a perfect, sinless life, but Jesus also taught us all about who he is and what he has done for us and how he wants us to live our lives. Who is Jesus? He's the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, holy and righteous. That's why he has got to punish our sins. But God is also love, merciful and gracious. That's why Jesus died in our place on the cross. That's what he has done for us, for our sins. He took our punishment on our behalf. And if we believe in him, if we only believe in him, he will forgive us of all our sins. And if Jesus is God, he's going to tell us how you and I, we're going to live our lives. But that's where the problem starts. All of us, we are born with this sinful nature. And that sinful nature will shout back, saying, Nobody is going to tell me how to live my life. I'm going to do it my way. Isn't it familiar? That's what all of us were. But God is going to tell us how He wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live a godly life, a holy life, just like our Father. But first, we need to believe and then repent of our sins and then follow Him. Follow Him. What is sin? What is sin? There are many definitions. If you talk to your psychiatrist, how many of you have been to a psychiatrist? None of you will put up your hand, I know. It's kind of like a shameful thing, isn't it? If you talk to a psychiatrist, you ask him, what is sin? He says it's only your imagination. It's just some bad feelings, but it's not real. That is a lie. Sin, as defined by God, is not just the evil that we do, but sin is rebelling against the control of God in our lives. In other words, refusing to submit to God, refusing to allow Him to tell us how to live our lives. In other words, we do not want God in our lives. We want Him out of our lives. Out of our lives. And while on earth, Jesus did not just talk about His love for us. He did something. He went to the cross and was crucified for our sins. He died as our substitute, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Do you believe in that, that He's coming back again? Because if you do, then your life needs to be different. The way you live your life need to be different. But whatever you do, whatever you think, He's coming back again. And this is the good news of the true Christmas. That you and I today, you can be a child of God. But first, you must admit your sins. And then you must believe in Jesus. And you must call out to Him. You must call out to Jesus. What does it mean? Admit your sins. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your sins. Or sometimes we use the word confess. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And then you believe that Jesus died for your sins. He didn't need to die. We do. But He went to the cross for us. And then you call out to Jesus. You invite Him into your life to be your Savior and to be your God. And you will have eternal life. And you will live forever in heaven with God. With God. Some 50-odd years ago, in August of 1968, I too admitted to God that I'm a sinner. I needed His forgiveness. And I made my decision to believe in Jesus. And then I invited Him into my life to be my personal God and my personal Savior. And from that day onwards, I know my identity, and I have a purpose, and I have a hope. When you believe in Jesus, you have an identity. Who am I? I was created by God. I came from my Creator God. Today, I'm a child of God. And you say, what? I thought Your name is John and you're a pastor. Yes, John was the name my mom gave me, my parents gave me. And being a pastor is just the role that I play. But I'm a child of God and he is my father. What am I doing here? What's the purpose of my life? My purpose in my life is to worship God. Have I gone ahead? All right. And what does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to worship God? And many times we have fuzzy ideas. Many times we get emotional when we sing, but that's not worship. That's just emotions, your emotions working. Worshipping God would mean you need to get to know Jesus, the real Jesus. And having known him, you want to make him known. Just as Joshua had said earlier, to make him known. And all this, the purpose is to exalt, to lift up the name of Jesus so that Jesus will be honored in our lives and in our church. That is worship. I know my identity. Who am I? I know what am I doing here? My purpose. And I also know my hope. Where I'm going to when I die. I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus for all eternity. Because that's what he promised me in the Bible. And that is true joy. True joy comes from knowing your identity and having a purpose in life and a hope for the future. A hope for the future. Do you have a hope? If not, you may have to jump off that bridge. And many people have done so. Maybe rich, but they don't have a reason to live another miserable day, which is just a repetition of yesterday. And they do not want to have another year because it's simply a repetition of the previous year. And they are tired, not just of Christmas. And again, it's a good time for us to ask ourselves, are you tired of Christmas? You should be. Because when you do not have Jesus in your life and he's not in control, God calls you a sinner. And like the rest of our evil and rebellious world, you will spend eternity in hell, not just the rest of your life. You will be miserable on earth, and then you spend the rest of eternity in hell. But Pastor John, Christmas Day, let's not talk about hell. It's because I love you, and I've got to tell you, you need to be sure that you're making it to heaven, because there's no other alternative except hell. Some of you sitting here may be saying, Pastor John, there is no hell, there is no God, there is no heaven. And you know what? If you're right, then you're okay. But what if you are wrong? What if there is a God, there is heaven, and there is hell? And in this last 50 years, I found out that whatever God has said in the Bible has been fulfilled 100%. And what he said about the future will come true 100%. And if there's a God, there's heaven and there's hell. then your future will be very depressing. I wanted to say that you don't have a future, but you have a future. Because there's a resurrection to life, to be with God. And there is also another resurrection to hell. You will go to hell. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't have to be this way. And the good news is, you don't have to end up in hell. If only today you would choose to believe that Jesus is God, turn, repent of your sins, and ask Jesus to come into your life to be your God and your Savior. But then, the next thing follows. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will have eternal life when you die. And you will immediately become a child of God. And for the rest of your life here on planet Earth, you will experience real joy, real joy. The Bible calls it abundant life, life to its fullest. It may not be rich, but it will be meaningful and exciting. That's what Jesus promised to all of us, because Jesus is God, and He is the only hope for our dying world today. Jesus has changed the course of my life because He has given me my identity and a purpose in life and a hope for the future. And Jesus can do the same for you, for you. My hope today is not in politicians. It is also not in technology, not in my money or possessions. My hope is not in my education, and it is not even in religion. My hope is in Jesus alone. And if you have not believed in Jesus today, I urge you to choose Jesus today. Today. Don't wait, because you may not have tomorrow. And to allow Jesus to come into your life to be your God and to have full control of your life. And only then will you experience the real joy of Christmas. The rest of you, as I look around the room, many of you have already made your decision some years ago to follow Christ. But you have strayed away from Him. But Jesus called all of us to be His disciple, meaning to learn from Him and to follow Him, to learn from Him. And today we learn from Him from the pages of the Bible. You need to be studying your Bible. And having studied and you understand it, you need to do it. You need to follow after Jesus and walk closely to Him. And for the rest of you, today it is also a good time to repent, to get back to Jesus. Commit yourself again to following Jesus. I'm going to be up here for a little while, and I'll be happy to answer any of your questions or to pray with you. God bless.